Here we go.
Are you ready?
1, 2, 3.
Woo! Leanne Hanifin. Weekday mornings from 10 on 98FM.
Ireland's Fittest Family returned to our screens last night and we saw the Burns of Dublin competing. A team of two brothers, their mother, their cousin, and all under the watchful eye of new coach and GAA legend Michael Dara McCauley. And I'm delighted to say that John and Anne from the team, from the Burns, are with me this morning on 98FM. Good morning.
Good morning. Leanne.
Thank you for having us.
I mean, it's a pleasure. And I need to ask the question, whose idea was it to sign up initially?
John's.
Yeah. John, right. John, explain yourself now and the thought process behind registering.
I don't really know the thought process. It happened very quickly. It was just to... We were asked to take part and I said, you know what, it'll be a unique family bonding experience. Mm-hmm. I know it's a bit extreme, but you know, we threw ourselves into it and we had a lot of fun, as you can see from last night's episode.
It looked like a lot of fun, like you say. And you were a little bit nervous, a little bit apprehensive. How much convincing did it take from the lads to get you involved?
A lot of convincing. John is very convincing. He had said, we're going to do a bit of family. He didn't tell me initially, like, you know, I was doing it. So he said, we're going to have a family bonding day. I said, okay, that sounds okay. I thought I was going for a meal. Maybe a walk.
Little bit different to a meal.
And he carted us down to Athlone to do,
yeah,
you know, auditions, we'll call it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was good crack though. We had a good day and then we got the call and, you know, we were all in with it from the start. Yeah. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun and yeah.
I wasn't really all in, but I was still a bit like, oh, I don't know, I don't think I can do this. You know what I mean? I just kept nodding, yeah, hoping that.
Just go along with it.
Yeah,
and you'll figure it out along the way.
It'll just say, oh no, it's not real, it won't happen, you know.
And yeah, we didn't know what to expect, but I mean, yeah, we just threw ourselves into it. We just threw ourselves in and said, we'll figure it out as we go along. And it was great.
Worth it in the end.
Yeah.
And obviously, you all have kind of different fitness backgrounds. Tell us, John, a little bit about that.
Yeah, so my background, like, I was never really into sports growing up, say, like, hurling or Gaa or whatever, like, or Gaelic football, like, you know, like many of the other families and stuff like that. I got into kind of martial arts in my late teens just to, you know, I was bullied a bit growing up and stuff like that. So I got into martial arts to, you know, just get fitter, ultimately to build my confidence, mm-hmm, to learn a new skill. That turned into a competitive fighting career as well. And now I have my own gym where I get to UC Fit, where I get to give back and give value to people and teach them a new skill and help them get fitter, more confident and stronger and stuff like that. So even seeing that last night, it was kind of, and having my family there with me, was kind of like full circle. So, then the background, my mom, What would your sporting background be? If you want to class Zumba as competitive, you know, well then she can show you a thing or two, let me tell you.
Well, you only started at Christmas.
Don't woman yourself. Well, it proves that you don't have to be in something for years and be competing at a very high level to get involved in something like this. Obviously, because you have your individual different backgrounds when it comes to fitness, how did you kind of gel all of that together to approach the competition?
Oh,
well, you have to have, there's like a strong one, a weak one, a fast one. So when you put it all together, but it took us a while to get it all together.
And which one are you, Anne? Which one are you?
I wasn't the fast, I wasn't the strong.
You were the toughest, that's what you were. You were the toughest. But like when you put it all together, I mean, everybody has a great, even watching the show last night, everybody's like, oh, we have this strategy, that strategy. But strategy goes out the window. As soon as the bell rings, the strategy goes out the window. Yep. And then you just scratch and claw and you just do whatever it takes to get through it. And even with Michael Dara, like we were coming up with strategies. Do you remember we were coming up with all these great strategies? Yeah, you do this, I'll go upside down that way and blah, blah. And then Michael Dara would run over literally 5 minutes before the challenge was due to take place. He goes, right, we're not going to do that. And it's all on you. Like, you have to go last or whatever. And then we were like, oh my God.
Plan out the window, right?
He just kept saying to me, run. Everything was, you just run.
It's good advice. It gets you through. Obviously, we have to mention, John, your brother, Paul, and also your cousin, Jack, as well, who are competing in it too. Out of all of you, who is the most competitive?
Well, you might be able to. Paul, growing up, was very.
Paul was always very competitive. He hated to lose.
Mm.
But between you and Paul, I think, John and Paul were...
See, Jack was a bit of a dark horse. Jack's a bit of a quiet guy now. And but getting us through the challenges, he was like a man possessed. He was launching us over everything, and
we're all quite
you look like you were having a great time being launched.
No.
She was black and blue after. We'll have to show you some pictures, but we're all very competitive, because when you're in it, we're there to go the distance, you know. We're like, right, we're in it now, let's give it everything we got.
Yeah. As soon as your man goes, right, 3, 2, 1, your heart.
Yeah.
I think I'd nightmares for nights, and that...
You're hearing the horn, blows. nightmares.
As soon as that goes, my body just went,
oh. Here we
you
go.
You forget everything. Like, just cameras, everything around, but you forget that. And I just kept going, I better just keep running.
And you did a great job, Anne. We saw you compete in two competitions last night on the show. Disclaimer for anyone who hasn't seen it and is looking to maybe watch it back today or at some point this week, you were in the eliminator.
Correct.
Thankfully, though, dug deep, you pulled it out of the bag, progressed to the next round. You're in the quarterfinals. So what can we expect to see from your family in the next competition?
But just on that, on the eliminator as well, that was because it's a long day. It's a long day. And then we were told during the eliminator, I didn't know the cameras, you didn't see this on the cameras. And do you remember when we were told?
I started crying.
She started bawling her eyes out.
All I was saying is, how am I going to get up the ramp. All I kept saying. How am I going to get up?
Because
that?
Keep in mind, we're there all day. We're all wrecked. We were told during the eliminator, the cameras stopped rolling. She's there bawling her eyes out and just couldn't stop crying. And I remember looking at her and I was like, oh my God. And then I started saying, I don't know how we're going to do this. She was like, I can't do it. And then the Walshes, shout out to the Walshes, they came over, a big group hug, and they said, you got this. And I said, right, we had a little pep talk with them, right until the end. We're going to scratch and claw, relentless we are, and to get us through to the quarter. So what can you expect? You can expect more of the same. We're going to go until the wheels fall off. Isn't that right? We're not going to stop. So she's under a strict training regime the next few weeks. And you know, you're going to have to tune in every Sunday at 6:30 on RT1 to find
out. Absolutely. John and Anne, thank you so much. We can't wait to see you compete in the next one on Ireland's Fittest Families. And thank you for joining me on 98FM.
Leanne Hanifin on 98FM. The 98FM Lowdown.
It is time to get up to date with all things entertainment with Showbiz Shannon.
Ooh, we're back again. Monday, baby, let's go.
And we also need to say a happy belated birthday to Shannon, because you weren't here for your actual birthday on Friday. Did you have a nice weekend?
I had the best weekend. I took Friday off to just focus on Halloween, to milk the cow, you know, focus on myself. It has to be done.
Deserved. And you're back and looking wonderful and bringing us all the stories in this morning.
Well, it is that time of the year again.
You know it's coming up to Christmas when I'm a Celebrity is in the schedule. I can't wait for it.
To me, that's up there with It's Time.
It's the very same. It's the very same.
Literally. I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out Here kicks off the 16th of November, and the following stars are rumoured to be entering the jungle.
Ooh.
Soap actresses Sonia McCartney and Lisa Riley.
Okay.
TV sports host Alex Scott.
Okay.
Comedian Ruby Wax.
Okay.
Boxer Tommy Fury.
We know him. Okay.
Our very own Vogue Williams.
I've heard this.
Yeah, that would be really good. I would love to see her in there.
Yeah.
And then just in this morning, Jack Osborne has reportedly signed to do the show.
I read this as well. Okay, so that lineup, are there any more names?
No, that's all we have.
That's the rumoured lineup. The first couple, like, you obviously have your soap stars every single year. Tommy Fury in it would be brilliant. Vogue Williams, brilliant as well. Jack Osborne as well, I can see that too. Anybody else that we would like to see in it maybe?
Well, I definitely would love to see Vogue. I want an Irish person in there. Do you know what I mean?
One per year, right? And the fact that Spencer has done it before as well. Like, there's going to be a competition in that house, right? Who's going to get on better? Do we know when it's actually going to be confirmed, though?
Well, Ant and Dec have done the promo for it now. They're in their Christmas jumpers and everything. There's all, like, mad food on the table. I love them. They're just so good. But I'm guessing it's going to be probably sometime this week if it's dropping the 15th.
Which is not the 16th. Sunday. It's the following Sunday. It's either going to be late this week or early next week, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I'd be happy with that lineup now, Shannon. I would.
No, same. I would be as well. Moving along, David Harbour has broken his silence for the first time since Lily Allen dropped her new album, West End Girl. Have you heard it?
I've heard bits from it. And we've obviously talked so much about Lily Allen since the breakup, since the new music came out, because there's been a lot to talk about her. So I'm interested now to see what he's saying.
Yeah, well, the album is Given Revenge. So if you haven't listened to it, go listen to it. In a new interview, which was actually shot before Lily's album dropped. So it's kind of a bit one of
those.
We
need a follow-up interview with him already. But go on, give us what he said.
He confessed he would change everything or nothing from the past few years, explaining that he feels regret is such a hard question. He said, you either accept your path completely and realise that even the pain and the slip-ups and the mistakes are all part of the journey.
I mean, wishy-washy answer if there ever was one. Yeah. If you did an interview with him right here, right now, having the album out in the world and everybody knowing what her side of the story is, he would speak very different. He would go for her.
Yeah, and I just want to know, like, have you listened to the album? Like, what do you think of it? Like,
So let's just do a deep dive. Let's do a listen together.
Oh my God, imagine a listening party with him in the audience.
Oh my God,
He has turned off his comments on all his social media posts and he's basically just gone from the public eye.
Wow.
So it obviously has affected him. Yeah. The Stranger Things promo is going to be coming up. It's the final season. Like, this is a big part of his career.
Of course. So this is such a turning point, like, for him in terms of his career, but also his personal life, because there's so much going on to it.
So everyone and their granny is going to want to know what's going on
100%.
There. And finally, former Pussycat Doll star Ashley Roberts is on this week's episode of the Need to Talk podcast with Paul C. Brunson. And during the episode, she opens up about the Pussycat Dolls dynamics and how it shaped the future of the band.
The structure was that Nicole was the lead singer, and that was the structure. That structure played out through music videos, how routines were structured. It was what it was. I want to remember it as the legacy we've left behind. You know, I don't want to sit here and bash and speak negatively about it. I mean, it was a certain time as well, like, where how is my mental health doing? That stuff just didn't exist then. It was like you just sort of, you got up and you got the job done. To sit here and speak negatively about something makes me take away from also what the f*** I got to do.
Oh, I love Ashley Roberts so much. And, like, we all know that Nicole was the leading lady.
Yeah.
When she talks about the structure, though, and that's how it was, I wonder who put that in place. Was it management? Was it Nicole? Like, how much they said?
Yeah.
And I also wonder if the Pussycat Dolls were not a group from, like, the noughties, if they were a group nowadays, kind of like she's saying, how different would it be?
Yeah, because even she mentioned mental health. So they were obviously all kind of struggling behind the scenes, but they just kind of got on with it.
Yeah.
Whereas now it would be a completely different story. And the fact that she said structure like five times during that, she was like trying to say it, but like not say it.
Yes.
Classy.
Media trained. You have to be in this industry.
Yeah.
Shobi Shannon, thank you so much for bringing us all the entertainment this morning on 98FM.
Leanne Hanifin, weekdays from 10 a.m. on 98FM.